Amen. I have a message that the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning. If you want to read the scriptures with me, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Haggai, and or Haggai, however you desire to pronounce it. But Haggai chapter 2, verse number 20, beginning with the 20th verse. Haggai was a prophet that ministered to the children of Israel after they had came back from Babylonian captivity. Zechariah and Haggai spoke to the children of Israel after the return from Babylon. He says here in this second chapter, the 20th verse, the Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and say, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, and I will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray as we enter into reading and ministering the word of God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. I readily admit of my own ability, I am insufficient. And I look to you this morning, the author and finisher of my faith. I look to you to enable me. And I pray that you would give me divine inspiration, that you would anoint me with the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be used as an instrument in the hand of our Lord. Put your word in my mind and in my mouth and in my heart this morning, that I may speak what you would have me to speak. I would ask this morning that what comes forth from these lips of clay would come forth, Lord, and land upon not only ears to hear, but hearts that are opened of God to receive. Speak to us, I ask. Bless me with the anointing and with liberty, that I may have freedom to preach your word. Let it rest upon hearts, Lord, that are touched of God to hear and be blessed. Speak to us now, enlighten us, give us revelation knowledge. And for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. And we ask them in the mighty and awesome name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, A Signet for God. A Signet for God. The text that the Lord has led me to is a bit obscure. How many of you have ever read this particular setting of Scripture? It is a bit obscure, and I believe that there is a very relevant and a very powerful and a very enlightening word that God desires to speak to us from this setting of Scripture. And I will tell you right up front that the scriptures that we have read in their context have a great deal of prophetic meaning concerning Jesus Christ, both for our day or the day that it was written and for the coming of the Lord or the second coming of the Lord. So the scriptures have a prophetic meaning to them. In essence, God is renewing his covenant with the house of David. Zerubbabel was a descendant or a direct descendant of King David, and God was saying to him prophetically that Judah has a future And God was encouraging them to look forward to the coming son of David, the Messiah. One who would overturn thrones and one who would overthrow the governments of this world and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. And let me just say to you this morning that I truly believe with all of my heart that there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return from heaven and he will return with his saints. The Bible teaches that his feet will set down in that day on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible said there will be a tremendous earthquake. But from that day forward, he will overthrow the governments of this world and he will rule and reign upon this world, amen, for 1,000 years. And we will reign with him. Amen. The verses that I have shared this morning are in reference to a great and notable day of the Lord. However, above and beyond the prophetic implications, without plowing too deep into theological eschatology, there on the surface of the text, there is also something that I believe that God desires to speak to us and something that we must not miss. Here in our text, the Lord declares that he will make Zerubbabel, amen, he will make him a representative, or he will make him an ambassador. He promises to make him an agent to do his will. God says to him, I will make thee as a signet. In other words, God was saying that I will treat you like a signet ring upon my hand. I will establish my purpose and I will cause you, Zerubbabel, I will cause you to make an impression and I will cause you to be my representative and my ambassador in doing my will. God is telling Zerubbabel specifically that I have called you for a specific mission. I have a plan in mind for you. I have a purpose in mind for you. I have chosen you to be a chosen vessel that you might do my will, and I have authorized you as a signet upon my hand. I have authorized you to act on my behalf and to fulfill my will and my purpose. In our culture today, we no longer use a signet ring. But how many of you know what a signet ring represents? Nowadays, we have a notary and we sign everything with a signature. But in days gone by, a signet ring played a very important role with those who were in authority. Many years ago, kings of old, amen, and those who were considered to have great authority would use a signet ring as a seal. A signet ring contained an emblem or a mark that was unique to the king or unique to the wearer. All official documents were sealed with a softened bit of wax, and they were sealed or impressed, if you will, or embossed with the king's ring. Every decree, amen, the king would seal or he would stamp that to prove its origin. He would give it his official approval and his authority. And in other words, the king's signet ring or the seal that it would cause was just as good as the king's signature. As a matter of fact, we get our English word signature from the old word signet. So it was a mark of authority. It was a mark of influence, a mark of power. It was a seal of approval. and such a seals that certified documents proved that they were genuine and authentic and legitimate. And the seal of the ring meant that the power and the purpose of the king was behind it. Whenever someone received a document that had the king's seal upon it, they knew that the power of the throne was behind it. That the king's authority stood behind it. Let me share with you some biblical examples of a signet ring in action. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 8. And I won't have you turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that Queen Jezebel took Ahab, the king Ahab, took his signature, and she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and that she sealed them with his signet ring. With the letters that she wrote bearing the seal of the king's signet, amen, her letters became empowered by the authority of the king himself. You can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 21. We see again the signet ring being used in Daniel chapter 7 or chapter 6 verse number 17. The Bible tells us that when Daniel was cast into the den of lions, that a stone was rolled in front of the mouth of that den of lions, and then the king sealed that rock or sealed that ceiling on that lion's den. He sealed it with his ring. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 17, the Bible said, and a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing could be changed. In other words, there was authority behind that seal. When the king sealed that den, he sealed it, and it could not be altered. It could not be changed. Amen. How many of you know how that story turned out? The lions weren't hungry until Daniel got out. Amen. Genesis chapter 41. This is the first reference of the giving of a ring that is used in Scripture. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 41. Joseph had just finished telling the Pharaoh that there are going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. There are going to be, he said, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he said, listen, the two dreams that you had, they are one dream. There are going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there are going to be 7 years of famine. And if Pharaoh has any sense at all, he will stock up in the good years so that there'll be plenty in the lean years. And the Bible says there in Genesis chapter 41, verse number 38, the Bible said, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all of this, there is none so discreet and none so wise as you are. Thou shalt be, verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all of my people be ruled. He's given Joseph some authority here. He's given Joseph some leeway. He's telling him, you're going to be in authority over all of my house, and all of my people will be ruled by the word of your mouth. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all of the land of Egypt. And you know what Pharaoh did after that? You'll find it in verse 42. And Pharaoh took off the ring from his hand, and he gave it to Joseph. He took off his signet ring and gave it to Joseph and said, you are going to be over all of the land of Egypt.
That ring on your finger is going to give you some authority, and everybody in the kingdom is going to recognize that the power of the king stands behind that order. Pharaoh gave Joseph his signet ring and empowered him to act in his name. Gave him authority and empowered him to act in his name. So we can see this morning that the use of the signet ring carries down through the scripture. You'll also find it in Esther chapter 8. When the king gave to Haman his signet ring and Haman was going to exterminate the Jews. Hello? Amen. You can read about that in Esther, but I'm just showing you this morning that all down through the Word of God, a signet ring gave an individual authority to make an impression to do the will of God. A signet ring given by one in authority gave the one that received that ring power and authority and honor and gave them the ability to be, amen, a representative of the one that gave them the ring. It authorized them. Here in our text this morning, the Lord compares Zerubbabel to his own signet ring. This meant that the Lord had approved and appointed Zerubbabel to be the leader of his people. Using this kind of imagery, God is giving Zerubbabel a word of encouragement and a word of hope. And he's telling him that you have been chosen for a unique and special purpose. Hallelujah. A signet ring upon the hand of Zerubbabel had given him a place of honor and authority. If you are a student of the Word of God, you will remember in the book of Ezra that the Bible teaches that Zerubbabel is the one that led about 50,000 Jewish captives back from Babylon into the land of promise and back into the land of Israel. And the Bible also tells us that it was Zerubbabel, the governor of one of the Persian provinces, that was so in authority and power that he was the one that laid the cornerstone to rebuild the temple of the Lord. He was an incredibly mighty man. The Holy Spirit this past week, as I was led to this passage and to this word, the Holy Spirit this past week would not let me get beyond verse 23. He wouldn't let me get beyond. Seemingly, it just stood off of the page at me. And three things specifically that God began to speak to my heart concerning this 23rd verse of our text. The first thing that I want you to notice this morning in verse number 23 is that God says, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant. I will take you. I just want to break down verse 23 little bit by little bit. And we're not going to get very far. In fact, we're just going to get into the first word for a minute where the scripture says, I will take you. I. Understand this morning that the I in this passage is none other than God himself. God says, I will take you. Amen. I will take you. I understand who is saying that. Amen. It's someone that has the capability of following through what he says he's going to do. He says, I will take you. I will take you. The Bible calls him the great I am, not the great I was or the great I will be, but the I am that I am, the Almighty God. He's the one that said, I will take you. I will take you. The one the Bible calls the Ancient of Days, the eternal creator, the all-knowing, all-powerful God who is from everlasting unto everlasting. If I told you I was going to do something, there may be some limitations attached to it, because I have limited strength and I have limited resources, but this is not I. This is God saying, I will do, I will take you. But brother, when God says I, there ain't anything that can change it. God declares, I will take you to be my servant. When God declares to do something, then I believe that we need to stand at attention. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19 that God says, amen, that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? In our text, God says, I will take you, my servant. If God said it, then he's not a man this morning that he would lie, that he would repent, that he would waver, that he would take it back. If God said, I will take you, then brother, amen, God says he'll take it. We ought to be ready to get taken. Can you say amen? Amen. Jeremiah 1 and 12. This is what the Bible says. God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says, I will watch over my word to perform it. That is just a short sentence, but it is such a mouthful. Understand what he's saying. He's saying, if I said something, then I will watch over my word to see to it that it happens. I will watch over my word to perform it. I will watch over my word to bring it to pass. I will watch over my word to see to it that it is accomplished. Amen. Psalms 119 and verse 89. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40 and 8 said, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Brother, if God said it, then God will watch over it and God will perform it. Hallelujah. And again, there are no limitations with God. There may be limitations on our part. But when God says something, when God says a matter, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. You can declare it from the ends of the earth. He'll see to it that it is accomplished. Amen. Jeremiah 32 and verse number 17. Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth with thy outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when God told Zerubbabel, I will take you and I will make you my signet. I will take you and I'm going to use you for my purpose. Amen. I don't care what devil comes against you, Zerubbabel. I'm your God. I'm on your side. I'll see you through, and I'll make sure that it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second word in verse 23. We ain't got very far. We just got to I. The second word in verse 23 is will. I will, not I might, not I will consider it, not I'll think about it, not I will contemplate it. I will. I will. I'm going to tell you, when God says I will, then God will. Hallelujah. When God says, I will, then you can count on the promise. Listen to Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 6 through verse number 8. This is what God promised the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 6, he says, wherefore, he's talking to Moses, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. He's saying, I will deliver you. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. I will take you for my people. I will be unto you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brought you up out of Egypt, and I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. You say, Pastor, that's all well and good, but that was a promise given to the old covenant people. Let me just assure you this morning that God says to each of us, just as he told the children of Israel so many years ago, God says, I will bring you out. Are you steeped in sin this morning? Then God says, I will bring you out. Are you in bondage this morning? Then God says, I will deliver thee. Amen. Are you in need of redemption? Then God says, I will redeem you unto myself. Amen. I'll take you. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And I will give you a heritage that'll never fade away. Hallelujah, hallelujah to God. I will. God, let me tell you this morning, is still willing. If we are. Amen. He's just looking for a willing heart. He's just looking for a willing heart. I will take you. I want you to know something this morning. There has never been an individual born upon the face of the earth that God was not willing to receive. The Bible said that Jesus declared, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No one is too far gone. No one cannot find their way back. God says, I will take you. You are mine. I will redeem you. I will make you my servant. And then we come to the second part of that verse. He says, and I will make thee as a signet. Oh, when I read that this past week, it just got all over me. I will make you a signet. He tells him, I will make thee as a signet. And God softly spoke into my heart and said, I want to make my people a signet in this world. I want to make them my divine representatives. I want to give them power and authority to walk in my name, in my power, in my spirit, under my blood. I want to give my people the ability to make an impression upon planet earth. I want to give my people the ability, amen, to become an ambassador for me and uphold my name. I want them to be a witness of the power and the majesty and the glory and the honor of God. Hallelujah. Just as Zerubbabel fulfilled God's will so many years ago, just as Zerubbabel left a lasting impression upon a people and upon a nation and upon a land and upon the pages of history, just as Zerubbabel left an indelible mark, an unforgettable impression for the will of God, the Bible declares that God is wanting to take us and make us his signet in this world. Where do you find that, Pastor Gary? Amen. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20? Paul the apostle said, now we are ambassadors. We are representatives. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Amen. We pray you in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, be reconciled unto God. Be reconciled unto the Lord. What does it mean? It means that God is wanting to use us as a signet ring, amen, straight out of heaven, so that we might reconcile others to the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has empowered us. He says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. That word ambassador means a representative, one who speaks on behalf of another, one who shares on behalf of the one who sent them. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech others. Paul said, we pray you in Christ's stead, in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not right here physically, but he sent me to represent him. He's here in spirit. He's not here in tangible flesh, but he sent me. He sent you. He sent you. He sent me. He didn't just send us to church. He sent us into this world to be a divine representative and a divine agent every day of the week to represent him. Now, let me just ask you, how you doing on that? Hello? Hello? He's empowered us. He's empowered us with a word from the living word of God. Be ye reconciled unto God. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. Let me just say this morning. I would to God that every church, not only in Emmett, but around the world, would stop being so judgmental and looking down their nose at everyone and would just simply preach, be reconciled to Jesus Christ. Love Jesus Christ. Amen. Because when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, there are some things that you do that you won't want to do. You hear what I'm saying? There are some things that you used to do and some things that you used to say that you no longer want to say and you no longer want to. Why? Because you fell in love with somebody that changed your heart. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations. It's about falling in love with Jesus and wanting to please the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are his representatives. We are his signature. We are his impression upon the world. What kind of impression are we leaving? He has empowered us with the power of his blood. He has empowered us with the power of his name. We have been given the ability to use the authority of Christ's name. He's empowered us with the Holy Spirit. He's empowered us with the word of the living God. The Bible said in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 19, Jesus says these words, behold, that means looky here, look up, pay attention, behold, I give unto you. And he wasn't just talking to the pastor, and he wasn't just talking to the evangelist, and he wasn't just talking for a special few in the house of the Lord. No, he was talking to every blood-bought, born-again believer. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's given us this morning power. Acts 1:8 said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, amen, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the uttermost parts of the earth. God is wanting to use us in a powerful way. Use us as his signet. Use us as his authorizing agent. Amen. God desires for you and I to make a lasting impression on this world. Just as Zerubbabel left a lasting impression for the purpose and the will that God had called him, God has called us for such a time as this. I want to leave a lasting impression upon this planet. I want to leave a lasting legacy for my children and my grandchildren and those that hear my words to follow. Amen. Jesus is desiring to make each one of us, amen, a signet ring, something that is an authorizing agent and gives us anointing and gives us power to operate in his name, that we might leave a lasting legacy of righteousness, and that we might leave a lasting testimony of his grace and his mercy and his power, that we might leave a lasting impression upon the world. When I leave this world, I want individuals not to wonder where I went, but I want them to know that I am now in the presence of the Almighty God that I served all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Amen. I have been asked to preach a funeral this coming Saturday of a lady that worked in ministry for years and years. I preached her husband's funeral in 2006, a wonderful man of God who preached the gospel. I preached her son's funeral last October when my wife and I went to Salem, Oregon. I preached her son's funeral, and there at her son's funeral, she told me, she hugged my neck and she said, son, you know, I want you to preach mine too when the time comes. This coming Saturday, I'm going to have the awesome privilege of preaching this sermon at her funeral. And what a lasting legacy that she has left. And what an impression that she has left. What an impression that she has made, amen, not only on my life, but in the lives of everyone that she touched. That's what I want to leave behind. I want to be a signet in the hand of God that he might use my life, amen, to make an impression and a lasting legacy, amen, in this world for his kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen. The third thing that he points out in verse number 23 that stands off, he says, for I have chosen thee. I have chosen thee. I don't know why. I haven't, if you stop and think about it, you'll wonder why too. I have no idea why he chose me. I have no idea why he chose me. I was on my way to a devil's hell. Thought I was happy doing my own thing. He could have just let me go. And I'd have probably went there, you know, with the old cliche, well, all my friends are going there. When I get there, we're going to have a party. Yeah, it ain't going to be no party. Ain't going to be no party. But here's what happened. God intervened. God intervened. He stood in my way
and said, I'll give you life and more abundant. He stood in my way and said, hey, hold up a minute. I have chosen you. And I look around and go, why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings that I've known? If you stop and think about it this morning, you'll have to ask yourself, why me? Why me? I know it's running through your mind. Chris Christopherson, why me, Lord? It's running through my, you know, I mean, why me? I have no idea why he would choose me. But here's something really, really special that God says. He says, for I have chosen thee. God chose Zerubbabel for a specific purpose and a specific work. But in John chapter 15 and verse number 16, Jesus says these words, you have not chosen me, but I have chose you. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I'm just going to tell you right up front this morning, if God lays a hand on your life, you will never get away. You will never get away from that calling that he puts in your spirit. I don't care how far you run, how hard you try to hide, you will never get away from the call of God. And he says, I chose you. And I ordain that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I'm saying this morning that God has chosen each one of us. God has chosen each one of us specifically for a unique purpose. For a unique will. No one can do what you do. God made you to be the one to do it. No one can do what I do. God made me to be the one to do it. He chose me. He chose you. And he ordained that we go forth and bear fruit. What does that mean? It means that we go forth in his name and make an impression for the kingdom of God. To bear fruit. To bear the fruit of righteousness. I know that there are some people that preach or think that bearing fruit is having success or accomplishment. That's not what the scripture's talking about. What bearing fruit means is that we go forth and we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We bear the fruit of long suffering, and we bear the fruit of kindness and love and righteousness, and we bear the fruit of the Spirit of God. Some people judge their success in the Lord by whether they have fruit following them, as if it was some kind of success. No, the kind of success that we need to be looking for is the fruit of the Spirit of God in our life. Because there will be those that hear and there will be those that turn a deaf ear. But we have still done our part. Fruit this morning. He's called us to go forth and bear fruit. He has ordained us. Just like Pharaoh taking off that signet ring and putting it on Joseph's hand. God has chosen us and ordained us to go forth and bear godly fruit. To be his representatives. He's called us to leave an indelible mark upon those that come into our lives and leave a positive impression of the power of God. Amen. Stop and think for a moment about your casual conversations every day. Stop and think about those who come in contact with you on a daily basis. Can they look at your life and see the impression that God has made in your life? Can you, by that impression that God has made in your life, turn and make an impression in their life? Can you make an impression in their life and be a light like a city that is set up on a hill, a city that cannot be moved. Can you, amen, be that light that people look at your life and they see the light of God in your heart and they give honor unto God because of the life that you live? We this morning have been called to leave a legacy and a lasting impression. My greatest prayer is, God, help me to be a lasting impression upon my family, upon my grandchildren, and upon those that you have called me to lead. Help me to leave such an impression in their life that they recognize that I was a signet. I was a representative of God. That should be our heart's desire, every single one of us. Let me ask you this morning, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes, how many of you this morning desire to leave a lasting legacy on those that you come in contact with? God bless hands that are going up everywhere. That should be our heart's cry. Lord, help me be a witness. Help me be a signet. Help me be a living example of your goodness and your grace. Help me be a living example of your grace and your mercy. When others would have fallen apart if they went through what I'm going through, Lord, amen, help me to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, that I might stand the trials of life and that I might keep a right attitude and a right spirit and come through on the other side and be a light to those who are around me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. I want to encourage you, operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God will use you as a signet, as a representative, as an ambassador, as a messenger, as an agent. Hands have been lifted all over the building saying, God, that's my desire. Stand to your feet, please, if you will. Slip your hands right up toward heaven this morning. God, like a ring on your hand, like an instrument that you would use to make an impression upon the lives of others, I pray that you would take us, that you would anoint us, that you would specifically use us for your will, for your divine purpose to be accomplished in us, individually and corporately, as Elevation Worship Center. God, there is a lost number of people in our community. Help us to love them. Help us to minister to them. Help us to show the love of God and the kindness of God to them. Help us corporately, oh God, to be like a great light, not for our glory, not to elevate us, but to elevate the name of Christ. You said, if I be lifted up, that all men will be drawn unto you. Help us to exalt you. Use us as a signet ring for your will and your purpose to reach their lives.
empower us with the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, not to just speak in word, but God, in demonstration, that miracles are accomplished in the name of your Son, Jesus. That like a light, we burn brightly, revealing the mercy, grace, and love of God. That your kingdom will move forward. That the power of the adversary will be destroyed. That the powers of darkness would be dispersed and the light of God would shine forth. Use us as a signet. Use us as a signet. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.